San Diego Center for Spiritual Living, Sunday, September 21, 2025. Today's lesson is It's a Lovely Day with Dr. Constance Cook Core. Good morning and welcome home to the San Diego Center for Spiritual Living. Let's anchor in right here and right now. There is one power, one presence, one infinite intelligence which flows through all creation, and I call this God, the living spirit almighty, one, indestructible, absolute, and self-existent cause in which we live and move and have our being. And so it is. So today is September 21st. And it's at this time of year that we have an equinox, which means that the night and the day are equal. They are the same amount of hours, night and day. Not to be confused with the solstices in the winter and the summer, where we've got the longest night and the longest day. But this is a lovely day, an absolutely lovely day. Our theme for 2025 has been simple abundance. And one of the things that we notice when we are looking around our lives and seeing what's going on is the simple abundance of beauty. And beauty is our theme for this month of September. Beauty means loveliness, the quality in a person or thing that gives pleasure to the senses, or pleasurability that exalts the mind or spirit. Remember last week I talked about the difference between beauty and visual convenience. We have been taught what beauty is supposed to be, and yet those things are just a visual convenience. Beauty is something that we feel. We absolutely feel it. Now, there are many spiritual traditions that teach that beauty originates from God. In science of mind, we concur, because beauty is deemed a quality of God. So if this is something that God is, then surely experiencing beauty is experiencing the divine. For our icon today, you'll see a picture of a little girl with a big, bright umbrella stomping and splashing in puddles. And you also see the different colors of the changing of the seasons. Now, what you can't see on the icon this size, but what I could see every time I pulled it up, was the absolute joy on that little girl's face. Just joy. It's like, whoa, I am out here. I've got my umbrella. I've got my bright colors. Kids love bright colors. I'm stomping. I'm splashing. I'm shooting little bits of water everywhere. This is great. This is a lovely day. The rain didn't stop her. It made it a better time. It made it more fun. Because kids have that sense of enchantment. When we were children, we were all enchanted with life, and everything was magical and mystical and full of wonder. And we would sit and we would make up stories for each other. We believed in unicorns and Puff the Magic Dragon. Some of us believed that we could fly if only we didn't have all these things holding us down. However, we still were not allowed to jump off the roof. But everything was magical and mystical and full of wonder. But then what happened? this thing called life happened. We became domesticated, educated, and in many cases, we became disenchanted. It's been said that a culture that is dedicated to enchantment recognizes the need to live in a world of both facts and holy imagination. It doesn't explain everything away in materialistic terms, but understands that wisdom and deep intelligence require an honest appreciation of mystery. Mystery. As children, we knew what mystery and enchantment were. So many questions we had, and not always somebody that knew the facts and the reasons in stuff in front of us to explain it. If you think of old times, the prehistoric, pre-written historic times, the people saw the movement of the sun and the moon and the stars. They saw the changing seasons. And they looked at that as mystical and magical and lovely. And then science came along and started educating them, and they go, oh, all right. All right, I'll believe there's a big universe. All right, I'll believe there's multiple planets and they're orbiting around our sun or somebody else's sun. Oh, all right. Take all the magic and mystery out of it until we learn so much more that today we can again see the magic and the mystery in the universe and in space. I shared a quote last week from my brother, Jess. Okay, so his name is J.A. Cook, Jess A. Cook. And he said, beauty itself is your appreciation of the grace that beauty brings with it. Beauty itself is your appreciation of the grace that beauty brings with it. I wanted to say it again this week because it is one of the more powerful things that I have heard my brother say. He says a lot of things on a lot of topics, but this was like, whoa, it got me. It touched me. It rang that chord of truth. Reverend Mallory Kretzmann talked about sacred moments. And what she said was, let's not get swept away by all the issues in the world. Let us rather take time to realize that every moment that we stop in awareness of truth, we are experiencing a sacred moment. It can be the truth behind the creation in nature, or the divine smiling through the eyes of a child. It can be acknowledging the invisible power of the wind, and it can be gazing at a star-filled night. So what are we seeing each day? Are we even seeing the beautiful sunrises or sunsets, the clouds, and looking at the intricacies of color and design of a flower? These are the things that should be stirring something in us. Yet so often we overlook them and we miss valuable opportunities. We are experiencing appearances of all kind in the world today. Today. And it is up to us to restore peace and harmony, not by appealing to God or trying to use God to change negative conditions. No. God has nothing to do with what is going on in the world. That's a very bold statement. God has nothing to do with what is going on in the world. That's us. That's we humanity and the way we treat each other and the way we treat the resources that we have been provided by our Creator. When we accept God as the only power, then our focus is automatically on truth and the discords on earth diminish. Let us not overlook the sacred in everyday life, the sacred that is always present. It's the omnipresence, God everywhere. And every day is a lovely day filled with love and beauty. Today is. In fact, Reverend Mark walked in this morning and mentioned how beautiful and healthy the plumeria out front are looking. So we know that he is not ignoring what is lovely today. He is seeing the loveliness within today. Now, I didn't notice it this morning, but I did yesterday. So there are the little things that we can do. Divine Science Federation International has something written by Reverend Dr. David S. Atkins. He wrote, "Jesus taught and demonstrated the principle of expansion in the kingdom of God through faithfulness in little things that would qualify us to assume more responsibility in greater things." Now think about that. When we are faithful and we do the little things well, we get more responsibility. We do. When we're little, we can put our shoes on, but mom has to tie them or dad has to tie them. This is pre-Velcro. Once they had Velcro shoes, the kids could put on and tighten their own shoes. But it was the getting the shoes on that was the first little thing. It is being able to get your own shirt off as a kid, which is a big challenge, by the way. If it doesn't have buttons, if it's a t-shirt, that's a challenge for a kid to figure out how to get it off. But those little things then graduate into being able to care for ourselves, dress ourselves, not even think about what it takes to take a t-shirt off. Because it comes off so fast these days. The little things that qualify us to assume greater things. Dr. Atkins said, "Responding to the small opportunities and doing them well paves the way for the larger ones to unfold, for the larger opportunities are really only the sum of the smaller." We are always being prepared for challenges and opportunities that we know not of. Rather than run after them, we can prepare ourselves to handle them. For when the time is ripe, they will seek us. Instead of striving to succeed in an outward and visible way, we can focus our attention on the inward, on the spiritual grace that prepares us for God and godly living. Having achieved that, we find our success is assured. All things needful will be granted. He continues, "It is that small bit of spiritual study engaged in daily that trains us in discipline and prepares our consciousness to receive the greater illuminations of truth. It is the small act of loving kindness, the daily devotion to others that paves the way of infinite love, the manifestation of God's kingdom on earth." So we are creating every day a lovely day. by all the little things that we do, by being able to put on our own t-shirt and shoes, to being able to walk out and see the beautiful flowers, to being kind, all these little things. In the Bible, Matthew 25:21 says, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things." Just to be clear, that's a promise, not a threat. You've been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. The many things that we are in charge of are things that also help us to be fully present, to be an example of loving kindness, and to be lovely. There's a song, It's a Beautiful Morning, and I almost used it for this talk, and I thought, no, there's another one I want to use instead. And I wanted to use All Things Bright and Beautiful, because every day these same bright and beautiful things are right there, making every day filled with love and making every day a lovely day when we appreciate the beauty, the absolute beauty that is originally from and through God. The lyrics in that song are, "I think I'll go outside for a while and just smile, just take in some clean, fresh air. It's your chance to wake up and plan another brand new day." Those are the lyrics. And you think about that. It's my chance to wake up and plan a whole brand new day. So if I'm going to be planning a day, I'm going to plan a lovely day. I mean, why would I go out of my way to put roadblocks in my way and stumble over things? No, I'm planning. I'm doing it with love. I'm doing it with graciousness and kindness. I'm doing it in appreciation of the beauty that is. And that makes it a lovely day. A beautiful day is already a lovely day. I want to tell you a story. Some of these things I run across online, and I was watching a video and that one of my relatives sent me, and then instead of go back to the message that it was in, I hit it and it went up and a new video came. And the first thing it is this guy taking off a cowboy hat, putting on a ball cap, and he's got little short legs. So I was thinking, is he a midget? Well, it turns out he was not a midget. He had little short artificial legs, and he was taking them off to put on taller, long artificial legs, prosthetics. And so I was just watching him, and I was fascinated by what was going on. He was talking about the fact that he had a single car accident, and he ran off the road and hit a tree and was there. He thought he was going to die, but his legs were compressed and crushed for 6 hours. And finally, his dad found him. And you're probably thinking, what does this have to do with lovely? Don't worry, it's getting there. And it's also an example of how things cross our path, not by accident. But that I came across this, I was stunned and amazed, and I thought, I need to share this story, but this is a special story. I need to pick a day when it's right. I need to pick a day when it's right, is what I told myself. And so it's a lovely day. And here's the story. So His legs were crushed for 6 hours. His father found him. He had all kinds of terrible trouble. They thought he was going to die. He almost died several times. And then he almost healed and then had a backslide kind of thing. And it was just amazing. Like, he thought he was going to be on kidney dialysis for the rest of his life. Suddenly his kidneys were fine. Just odd stuff. What he said was that when he woke up out of his coma and they said, "You've lost your legs," he had a quick reaction, and it was, "Well, that's going to suck for a while. Okay, let's see what else." He says that the loss of his legs is not a loss. He said, "I can exist without my legs. I can make money. I can enjoy the outdoors, you know, kayaks, hunting, all these different things, outdoorsy things that he did. He could still do all that. He worked in a rodeo. He can still work in the rodeo." There were two main things in his life at that time that he cared about, and that was making money and enjoying the outdoors. He had a girlfriend at the time, and she stuck with him through all of it. They got married. They have 4 kids. And he says, "I am living my dream life. Everything that I wanted, I have and can do." He said all of this that he was going through was harder on the people who cared about him than it was on him. So the final thing that he said that just stunned me, after he's telling how wonderful his life is and how he can do all of these things that he always wanted to do, and he is sincere and he is helping others through this. He said, "I don't miss my legs. They were connected to an idiot. Now he manages his legs." So the question out of all of that is, where do we place our attention? Do we place our attention on stuff that doesn't matter? Do we place that attention on things, people, places, and things that we are still connected to when we know better? Are we being an idiot? And the answer is, no, we're not. We are never being an idiot, because every day we have a choice. Every day we get to choose, what am I going to do with this day? Start where you are. Use what you have. Do what you can. Start where you are, use what you have, do what you can. Every single day. And so here we are in this room. We are here using the things that we have and making the life that we want. Something that we know about ourselves is that whatever we become committed to, we allow ourselves to become. So we become whatever we're committed to. We need to allow ourselves to commit to recognizing the awe and the enchantment of the ever-present gift of beauty in our lives. There was a children's show years ago, Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. And the song that was associated with that was, "It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood." So if we want to have a beautiful day in the neighborhood, we need to experience it with conscious choice. So what is our neighborhood? Our neighborhood is our spiritual community, our families, our friends, our social groups, and our colleagues. And so we know about all of this that in the omnipresence of the divine, God is fully present in each one of us, in each of our neighborhoods, each of our communities. And Christine Emmerling said, omnipresence, God is everywhere, is right here where I am. I am one with this living presence of love that inspires every thought, word, and action. It's a lovely day. I see this divine order in all of creation, with the invisible divine substance as atoms making up our vast universe, with its billions of stars and cosmic bodies, while guiding every orbit. The beautiful seasons on our earth and all of life, seed, root, stalk, infant, child, adult, idea, thought, action, I am the activity of divine order in expression. God is where we live and move and have our being. Spirit is where we live and move and have our being. What she's saying is in the omnipresence of the divine, that same everything lives and moves and has its being within the divine. Caroline Muntz was a divine science minister, and she was ordained by one of the founders of divine science, Nona Brooks. She was ordained back in 1923. And she wrote this, and I'm including it because it's a lovely day. Day by day, I live in God's world. Day by day, I meet the experiences of life with the power of God within me. Day by day, I grow into the realization of myself as I am in God. Day by day, I rejoice in the deeper truth that my soul reveals to me. Day by day, I rejoice in the beauty of life that is all about me. Day by day, I realize that God love expresses through others to me. The joy of life consists in expressing my love in helpful action to others. I rejoice in serving others. In my realization that I am a center of health in God presence, a center of power in God power, a center of love in God love, and a center of life in God life, I now find myself an individualized center of God, free and joyous. So through this, we are practicing the awareness of the omnipresent God in which we live and move and have our being. That, oh, by the way, also means that God lives and moves and has its being within us. Here's what Ernest Holmes, the founder of the Science of Mind and the author of the Science of Mind textbook, says about it. And this is back in his Meditations for Self-Help. It's about divine companionship. Now, if I were going to go out on a lovely day, wouldn't I want my divine companionship with me? Yeah. He writes, I have an inner friend who walks and talks with me daily. He is not afar off, but is within me, a constant companion. I shall never become lonely, for my friend is always near. I have but to speak, And he answers, "Before ever my lips spoke, he told me of his love. Oh, my kind friend, how dear to me is thy presence. The spirit within me is my friend." We are befriending the divine within. And when we have really dear friends, they are also confidants. So we have our confidant, our inner confidant, who actually has great guidance, better than most of our friends, I'm sure. I want to share a story with you. This is a story about an old man. All he ever did in his spare time was go to the edge of his village and plant fig trees. People would ask him, "Why are you planting fig trees? You are going to die before you can eat any of the fruit that they produce." Evidently, fig trees take a long time to grow and produce food. But he said, "I have spent so many happy hours sitting under fig trees and eating their fruit. Those trees were planted by others. Why shouldn't I make sure others will know the enjoyment I have had?" There's an old Chinese proverb, "One generation plants the tree, another gets the shade." So as we are doing this, let's know with Dr. Joseph Murphy, "Let the spirit of faith and confidence in God ascend in you like a great fountain and fall as a benediction and blessing. Lift up your concept of God, and you can calm the winds of fear and worry and the waves of despair, anger, and melancholy." You do that by raising your awareness of the divine. You get to make every day a lovely day. And so I thank you for your time and your attention. Namaste.